And we're back in John chapter 10. And I've been thanking the Lord, His grace and mercy to us. And again, it's by His Spirit. I thank the Lord that we can come in here and just trust Him completely and fully. I pray that we take that into our homes, our jobs, no matter where we're at. Jesus, praise God, He's not only with you as a child of God, He's in you. And He's for you. And if He be for you, who could be against you? And I'm thankful that, again, what He's bringing forth here in John. And in the 10th chapter, well, and I just mentioned this, I know we got into the first six verses last week so that they would tie in to the 9th chapter, which was precious portion of the blind man who the Lord picked up the clay, spit in the clay, and put it into his eyes. And we rejoiced about that. And we saw how the Lord, speaking many things there, but He was really accentuating, He was emphasizing the blindness of the man, that he was blind. And that man knew he was blind. And that man knew that the only way he was going to see, praise God, was to listen, as he knew that this was a prophet. He knew that this was the Word of God. And he listened to him, and he took that instruction, and he went and washed, praise God, and once he had washed, then he could see. And how sweet it is, brothers and sisters, to always know that in any growth that we'll ever have with the Lord, it's so simple. We need Him. We can do nothing of ourselves. That's why He says it's grace that does it all, but that's why He's given us all grace, amen? And He gives us grace for grace. Isn't that wonderful? See, you need grace to take grace. It's beautiful. It's overwhelming. And the grace is always, and it's all sufficiency in all things, praise God, so that we would superabound to every good work. Those are the before ordained good works that we should walk therein. Believe it or not, you need grace to walk those. Amen, we do. Praise God. We know that's not of ourselves. But we go back into the 10th chapter, and I'm going to revisit this again. I had a few different ones say, brother, you hit that going so fast last week that we need to be getting a little bit of a double encouragement. You have to excuse me sometimes. I get excited, and sometimes the horse gets running, and I don't ever mean to go too quickly, but it's such a passionate thing. You know how it is, and but I appreciate your patience. But we'll go back, and we'll start again in that 10th chapter. And in verse 1, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, this is Jesus again speaking to these same Pharisees that were just hammering this poor blind guy after he could see, and they're trying to just get it out of him. How did this happen? How did this happen? And he keeps telling them how it is, because it's who it is. It's Jesus. It's this man called Jesus. And it was so sweet as we saw this man becoming more confident and bold so quickly in the things of God and the testimony. He wasn't going to bend. He wasn't going to listen to those deceived ones and those ones that were trying to deceive him about anything else. He knew who gave him sight. He knew how he was made to see. And here we have, going into this 10th chapter, is just a continuation of that story. And here comes the parable. And Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So what this is saying here is that the thief and the robbers are the ones that are trying to get into this sheepfold another way than the only way, the one way that the true shepherd, the good shepherd, can come. And by the way, there's only one good shepherd. And there was only one that came, amen, praise be to God, the way through the door. And that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, this being the first door that speaks of here in this chapter, this door speaks of that Jesus Christ fulfilled all the Word of God up through the Old Testament, the New Testament, all of those things. He fulfilled it all the way down to the I dotted and the T crossed, but praise be to God with His freely shed blood. I'm thankful to the Lord. We understand all of those things of the prophets that were told there in sweetly in Isaiah about the Christ that would come and how he would be born and who he would be and how he would be given over and the suffering that would go on and all of those different things. The vinegar that would be touched to his lips, that they would cast lots for his garment. All of those things, praise be to God, to the very nth of all of them, he fulfilled the word of God. This is what this is speaking of. He is the good shepherd. He is the true shepherd. And he came through that door. Remember as he told them, I am from above. And he was speaking to those Pharisees. He says, God is my father. And then he finally told them in the last chapter, the devil is your father. And he wasn't, you know, there wasn't any mincing words there. He finally just told them, this is exactly what it is. But see, anybody who comes into the sheepfold, and the sheepfold, brothers and sisters, that it's speaking of here, is the sheep, meaning God's Israel. The Israelites were referred to, whether it was in the Psalm, whether it was in Ezekiel, Isaiah, all of that. That was the sheepfold that God dealt with. Those were Jehovah's sheep. And so praise the Lord, the same one I am that I am of the Old Testament is the same I am that I am, Jesus Christ, as he says, I am. Praise God. He's going to go through that door, meaning he has fulfilled all the word of God. He is the good shepherd, and now he is going to shepherd, in a sense, at this time again, because he's never not been their shepherd, if you understand that. He's always been. I am that I am. Who do you think was all of the power and the cloud by day and the pillar by night in the wilderness with Israel? It's I am. It's Christ. And so here he is now as this shepherd, and so sweetly he's coming through this door. But anybody else that climbs in another way is a thief and a robber. And obviously he's referring to these Pharisees that were trying to get at this blind man. But it says, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And that's him. That's who he is. Praise be to God. And then it goes on to say, to him the porter openeth. That means porter openeth that door. And that was John the Baptist, as we went back and were recalling. Remember, John the Baptist was the porter. He was the one that introduced Christ. He said, behold the Lamb of God. And so there's the porter that introduces him. And the sheep hear his voice. See, that's another important thing that we're always going to see. It's so profound. It's so prophetic. It's so awesome and amazing. We must hear him. It's not, in a sense, seeing him or feeling him or any of these things. You hear him. You hear and you believe. Praise be to God. And that's exactly how all of this happened. And that's what's so beautiful about the blind man. He couldn't see, but he could hear. And he heard truth. He heard, I am. And he believed. And isn't that amazing? Then he saw. And that's exactly how it is for us. That, again, is in type exactly as it is for us. We can't see anything until we hear the word of God. And then we're not going to see until we hear and believe the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's never changed. This is the word of God, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, that is giving forth the word. But in this, he goes on to say, my sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And how precious that was to think about how he called the different ones by name, whether it was Matthew. Zacchaeus, you come down. A little story, you know. He didn't say, hey, man, you get out of there. He said, Zacchaeus, you know. And then think about Mary at the tomb. We were talking about that and how beautiful that was. Is, you know, there is so sweetly the one that knew him so well and all of those things. But, you know, she's gone to the tomb and, you know, wondering and crying and all of these things. And she sees that angel and thinks she thinks that that's what we've got going there, or this gardener man or whatever. And until she hears the word, Mary, he says to her, Mary. And then she says, oh, Rabboni, She knew exactly who that was because he calls his sheep by name. And thanks be to God that, again, he calls us by name. You know, we were talking about that, and you know that. He says, Alex, he loves you. Mark, praise God. Lynn, Jesse, and I'm so thankful. Calls to me every moment, and I'm grateful to God because he is God. He's obviously omnipresent, but he's also omniscient, and it's so wonderful how personal our Savior is. So just to kind of recap this about the blind man. This is the parable of the blind man. And going on with it in verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for again, they know his voice. They know his voice. They hear the word. Praise be to God. We're talking about that again, and how I thank the Lord, how Brother Hill used to bring that out, about how many counterfeits there are on money and things of that nature. There's thousands, millions of counterfeits. And they would get those experts, and they would come in there, and he mentioned about an interview. They were talking to one of the experts, the best of the best that could recognize the counterfeits. And they said, man, you must spend a lot of time looking at all these counterfeits, and there's thousands of them. That must take up all your time. He says, no, what takes up all my time is I study the original. I know that original so well that when anything that is false comes along, I know it immediately. So when you know the voice of the Lord, when you know the Word of God, I don't need to know a certain religion's belief. I don't need to know this. I know the Word of God. And when it's against the Word of God, it's not His voice. It's not His Spirit. I've had people come up to me and say, oh, the Lord told me this and that. And it isn't anything of the Word of God. And I know right then, I can discern that spirit. That's not the Spirit of the Lord. That's the spirit of the devil. That's the enemy that's giving you that garbage. And if you go anywhere to hear something or to be supported by something but the Word of God, let me tell you something, you're going to find it. And you don't need to look very far or ask too many people because there's not many that yield. There aren't. And praise be to God, go to the well to get your drink. Otherwise, you're going to get something that will poison you. Goes on to say, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Isn't that wonderful? They have an ear to hear the word of God. That's what you have, and that's what you've been given. You may at times think that you're going to listen to other things, but I remember a couple weeks ago, the Lord gave us a sermon on chastening. And you can make it as hard as you want. But you will hear the Lord. Yes, you will. And I'm just wanting to hear him right now, praise God. I don't want to be hearing the Lord in the belly of a fish. If I get in the belly of a fish, I want to hear the Lord. But I don't want to make it that hard. My brother Jonah, that's my older brother. He went through that for me. Had a lot of them. And I want to learn from them. Amen? And that's wisdom by the grace of God. But you know what? We still will fail. And praise God for the grace of God. And how wonderful it is. But see, it goes on to say, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what the things they were which he spake unto them. So again, the recap. This was again of the blind man. He was of the flock. He was of that flock that we started on. Where it says the true shepherd entered in through that door to the sheepfold. This was that blind man of Israel that would believe the Lord. He wasn't of, in a sense, the religious Jew that was set against the truth. So we have this wonderful shepherd, hallelujah, that went into the flock. And this blind man, he refused to listen to the thief and the robber. He did not have an ear for the stranger's voice. He knew the voice of the shepherd. And I mentioned that just a moment ago. That's why he immediately said he's a prophet. He knew that he had the word of God. And it was so sweet that the Lord was encouraged at that time. And that, again, he would believe this. But there are three distinctions I mentioned last week of the Good Shepherd. First of all, he enters in by the door. It's the truth. He fulfilled the whole word of God. Next of all, he was introduced by the porter. That's John the Baptist. And finally, praise God, the sheep know his voice. And this is what is so wonderful, and you need to really embrace this, brothers and sisters. Whom he foreknew. He saw you in Christ in ages past. He saw that flock. He knew that flock. He knew that this blind man would believe. Yes. And in that foreknowledge, praise God, he was predestinated. Always remember that. Yes, he would that all men be saved. All men. It's been preached to all men. Amen. We know that. But we're dealing with God. And God does know. Hallelujah. And such a precious thing. But let's get on with it now. And we'll get into verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So now we've had that first door, which was the door that Christ Jesus entered through, which was to fulfill the word of God. Amen. In every way. But now we have the second door, which happens to be him. I am the door of the sheep. Notice it's not I am a door, meaning that there would be many doors. I am the door. And it's one that's going to enter in, and it is going to be one that is the door of salvation and eternal life. And this is what this door is. As it says in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Praise be to God. I thank the Lord. I get that. It's finite. It's one, hallelujah, and one way. I am the door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. So we're seeing this again. And brothers and sisters, in a couple verses, we're going to read about the thief. But this thieves and robbers, it's the same definition. It's to steal and kill and destroy. False teachers are nothing but ones that will steal from you, will basically kill you, and again, destroy, in a sense, your life. We need to understand this. But that, again, is what this is speaking of. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Now, this doesn't mean the prophets. Moses and Ezekiel and those. No, because, praise God, they gave the word of God. They were the representatives of the ones that were speaking the truth. That's why I go back again and say about the blind man. Before he knew, before he had that knowledge, the one thing he did know, that Jesus was speaking the word of God. And that's the difference. And that's what was so beautiful of again, this ear that this man had was to hear the truth. But all them that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. So we can see, brothers and sisters, that the reason that they're a thief and a robber is because they do not preach Jesus, the Christ, and his coming. It's very simple. You're either for me or you're against me. You either have the Spirit of God or you have the spirit of Antichrist. That's it. There's no neutral there. There's no gray. You're either alive or you're dead. And that's it. You know, people sometimes get offended. I pray I don't say it in an offensive voice. I'm just telling you the truth. I believe the Word of God. Just like on Sunday. Praise the Lord. We read the Word of God. There's nothing hidden there. There's nothing, you know, well, how could that? Well, let's try to twist. You can't twist that. It's the Word of God. It's true. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts right down to where you want to stand. You're either going to believe it or you're not. You're either going to hear the Word of God or you're not. You're either going to believe the Word of God or you're not. And by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a child of God here, how does your life live? By faith, amen? What is faith? It's the Word of God. Well, I believe I'd want to live as fully as I could. How about you? Amen. Amen. We're built one way. We're built to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Praise his name. But we see that he tells it. But he says, but the sheep did not hear them, those thieves and robbers. Isn't that wonderful? See, you don't need to worry, brothers and sisters, and to get tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Just hear the word. When you start to get tossed to and fro, it's because you're listening to a lie. When you start to get uneasy about your life, it's because you're not listening to him. I'm the one that gives you a sound mind. I'm the one that, praise God, gives you bold, enlarging steps. I'm the one, praise God, that'll bring giants up, but you know what? You're not going to fear them because you're going to believe, praise God, in my perfect love for you. Amen? How simple is that? Praise the Lord, isn't it? And it is simple. By God's grace, let's just take those cookies off the shelf. Say, Lord, that's easy stuff. I get it. You said it, and it is so. And praise God, by the grace of God, I believe it. Goes on in verse 9. He says, I am the door. So I'll tell you again, I am the door. Praise God. And now here, by me, so this is through me. It's always got to be through him. And it changes here. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Isn't this wonderful? He puts that in now. Because now comes the introduction to any man. Now we saw that he first went into the sheepfold of Jehovah, Israel. But it says, remember, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So this now, praise the Lord, if any man, this is the grace of God. He shall be saved. So again, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, that's so wonderful. And note this, brothers and sisters, about the door. I am the door, the one door. Did you know that the ark had one door? Amen. Ark's always got one door. He is the ark. He got one door. It's him. Did you know the tabernacle only has one door? One door. Praise God. That's it. One way in. Hallelujah. And once you go in, praise the Lord, you can go in and out. That didn't mean you just got in and, oh, we're just going to keep him here and we're not going to let him do anything. No, in and out. Grace. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, the grace of God. The liberty, the unconditional grace. I love it. Where there is no law, there is no sin. That's Romans 5:13. Isn't that wonderful? Where there is no law, there is no sin. That's the pasture we feed on. It is. It's this high. It's higher than that. It's just all over the place. That's our pasture. Praise God. It's grace, 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 grace. Verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. How beautiful. And we know that. He is the life giver. He said that many times already in our study in John. But now it's going to be turned up a notch because soon we're going to have the introduction of the Holy Ghost. And here it is. And that they might have it more abundantly. So see, by the grace of God, as a child of God, we have life. But his intention is that we would have it more abundantly. Now let me tell you a little bit about that word abundantly. It means a superior life than even the life. It means a more full life, praise God. It means a more mature life. But it even gets better. It's a life of a full measure. I believe there's a verse in the Bible to the fullness, to the measure, to the stature of Christ. Praise the Lord. And then finally, it means a higher rank. There are ranks in the resurrection. Praise God. And this is what this is, if we want this more abundant life. I am the good shepherd. And that good is he's the genuine, he's the beautiful one. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that really is not just gives his life for, it's instead of. He gave his life instead of the sheep's life. So wonderful. The ransom, the debt, being made sin. Let's go on over to Romans chapter 5, 6 through 8. Let's read a couple things here as we go along. In Romans 5, 6 through 8, it says there, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard. So sad, that bothers so many people. They want to think somehow, some way, that they were just born different. Oh, you know, I just always kind of nice. I wasn't bad like that other guy. Oh, she was sweet when she came out. Well, let me tell you something. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. They're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And by the grace of God, if you got any sweetness, it's because Christ lives in you. The other stuff is just false stuff. And God help us to rely upon the one that does it all, because the other stuff is just a lie. And then, go on over so sweetly to 2 Corinthians 5:21 and read what it says there. In 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us." How awesome. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So that is what so sweetly he gave his life for us. What he became, what he was made. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Going on to verse 12. "But he that is a hireling." So now we're getting back to, again, this is that comparison contrast of the good shepherd and then the thieves and the robbers. Now he's going to call the thieves and the robbers something else. He's going to call them a hireling. Matter of fact, that word can be translated as a mercenary. Basically one who is paid for hire. Jesus not only wasn't paid, he paid it all. Isn't that something? He did it willingly. He did it joyfully. Praise be to God, and was made sin. And that's just something so beyond, praise God. Again, that's that intimacy. That is one thing that only he will ever know. Even the Father, he had to turn away. Only our precious Lamb, praise God, knows what it will ever be to be made sin. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But he that is a hireling, again, that's a false teacher, a false prophet, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not. They see the wolf come and leave the sheep and flee, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. This wolf speaks here of the Antichrist that will come as well too. There's a lot of prophecy in this, brothers and sisters. But you see these false ones, these false teachers, being, like I say, like a mercenary, they're in it for lust. They're in it basically for really lucre, for money, for fame, for anything you want to think of, but they're not in it for the best interest of your soul. And that's why they're thieves and robbers. Went on to verse 13, it says, "The hireling," or that thief and robber, "flees because he's a hireling and he cares not for the sheep." Acts 20:29 tells it just like this. In Acts 20:29, "For I know this." Well, go back to 28. This is Paul speaking. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. And brothers and sisters, I'm so sad. We've seen that. But it's the Word of God again, and the Word of God is true. And if we're going to not turn our ear to hear the truth, we're going to believe lies. We're going to be swayed and tossed and coerced and all of these different things. But we have no one else to blame, brothers and sisters, but ourselves in that. But that's how it is. Going on in verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd. And oh, how sweet he is, a good shepherd. And know my sheep and am known of mine. I want to take a little bit of time here tonight and think about this good shepherd. Going over to Hebrews 13, verse 20. Let's read about our sweet good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. See, that's again that door that he came through. The blood, the everlasting covenant. See, he fulfilled it all. And that's our precious shepherd. Let's go on over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Read in verse 4. Tell us a little bit more about our precious shepherd here. That's 1 Peter 5, 4. And it says there, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now that's a shepherd, praise God. And he's the chief, and he's the good, and he's the true. And that's just who he is. But going back to 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Now, why? Because you know what? We are of him. We are born of God. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Oh, my goodness. We are one with him. I was watching a show, and I know you all are watching Shark Week with me. That's good stuff to watch. Keeps you up at night praying. You know, you get dreams where you go in the water, and sharks coming, and you're praying, even in your dreams. But I thought it was so wonderful. They had these seals down there in South Africa. And on this one little island, there's 50 to 60,000 seals out there. And I mean, you couldn't get by, you couldn't see or anything. And just amazing, they're just packed in. And I mean it, 50, 60,000 of them. And they did this little part on this mother seal that went out there, and she jumped around and missed all the sharks, missed her because she was able to turn and do this and everything. But in the meantime, you know, because she had to go eat, and I guess she'd been gone a couple days or whatever it was, she'd left her little pup. And that little pup was on that island with 60,000 smelly seals that are, you know, and I mean, could you imagine that sound and the smell and all of that that was going on? And that little thing, they kept filming it, everything, you know, like that, and just trying to hear and all this. That mom got back on that rock and started going through there, and, you know, 3, 4, 5, and that baby that says it needs to, you know, get the milk from its mother. And that baby could hear that mother's voice and knew that mother's voice out of 60,000 other seals. I sat there and I just, how could that seal hear that mom calling through 60,000 other seals sounded just exactly the same, but that's my mother. That's my grace. How much more so our shepherd? Isn't it wonderful? Oh, yes, it is wonderful. It's amazingly wonderful. See, he shows us these things. You know his voice. Turn to his word. Listen to him. He's given. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. People have turned to a lot of things, a lot of Christians that really, I'm telling you, that I've known for years, that have known the whole counsel, the full counsel of God, and what they have turned to. And but for the grace of God, you'd go there and I would too. Amen. But that's why, brothers and sisters, by his grace, to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should ever let them slip. Amen. How could we neglect so great salvation? He's put before us salvation with eternal glory. Life abundantly. Life of the highest rank. Life of the fullness, the measure, and the stature of Jesus Christ. The perfect, complete, praise God, like him glory. Amen. Makes me want to run, praise God, having a shepherd that good. Amen. That loving. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father, and lay down, or again, instead of, I lay down my life for the sheep. I want you to think about this. We did a Bible study, I forget how many weeks, on the sheep and the shepherd, and I just encourage you to, if you ever want to be encouraged, go back and listen to those things. Those are good things. But just a few things about sheep. So many things, but first of all, they're helpless. Sheep are helpless. They can't do anything. And you know what the Bible tells us? We can't do anything without him. We can't do anything without him at all. We are helpless. We are completely, number two, dependent on the shepherd. How wonderful. Praise the Lord. We are dependent on grace, aren't we? And that is he, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Amen. And then finally, about sheep, which is so amazing that God made us this way, we are prone to wander. Isn't that something? Our attention span is nothing. It's a flea. It insults the flea. The flea's got more of an attention span than the sheep. It just, you know, they get their head caught in the wire. They're fine eating on this thing, and it's just beautiful over here, but, you know, there's something over there, and I'm just going that way. And that's just the way it is. And by the grace of God, we're encouraged as his sheep, though, listen to the shepherd's voice. And that word of God is the shepherd's voice. And you need to hear the shepherd's voice. You need to exercise that ear to hear it and to be quick to hear. And slow to speak, amen? And quick to believe, but yet slow, praise the Lord, to unbelief. So those are the things to think about. And what's so precious here as well, too, later on in this chapter 10, we won't get there tonight, but it says about how the sheep that the Father giveth me. See, the Father has given him these sheep. And what's so beautiful, if you really think about it as well, too, is that, you know, the Christ types, Joseph, Moses, and David, did you know they all tended their father's sheep? Isn't that sweet? And I just think, again, all of those types in the Word of God. And, again, we're just looking at the surface. We haven't even scratched nothing. So we just thank the Lord for what he shows us. Verse 16, now, here's something new. He says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So wait a second. You say, well, wait a minute. You said that you came into that fold. Well, remember what fold that was that he first came into. It was the fold of Israel. Well, now we got the Gentile fold, praise be to God. And it's so precious, the other sheep are the Gentiles. And notice this, I have them sheep. He saw you in Christ before he ever set a star in heaven. Do you think you're safe and secure? Praise be to God. They were rejoicing over you before you. Because in Christ. Oh, thank the Lord. We better get excited about this and start to quit looking at ourselves and start looking up. But see, that's so wonderful. Go over to John 11, verse 52. It says there, in 11:52, "And not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." So, and there's just going to be this precious oneness. We thank the Lord for it. And then over in Ephesians chapter 2, go on over there in verse 11. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by the which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, and where? In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And going right back again to that precious verse, know this, as it says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." How's he going to bring them? "And they shall" what? "Hear my voice." It's never changed. It's still hearing the word of God. They were always saved the same way, by faith. They hear his voice and they move, praise God. They believe. "And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Goes on to say, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Isaiah 53:10, there's just a little saying right there. It's so beautiful that just hits this right on the head. Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." There was nothing more beautiful, praise God, than the plan of God to magnify his Son. Such precious scriptures. You can go and read Hebrews chapter 10, 10 through 22. That will really open it up for you as well too. So beautiful there. But that's why it says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Oh, how wonderful. That once for all. Isn't that wonderful? "No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself." See, he gave up the ghost. That's John 19:30. He had to give himself. He had to lay it down. No man could take it. "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." You go on over to Hebrews 2:8. This is what's so beautiful of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think of the power, hallelujah, that he is, that he has, that's been given to him. And yet the lowliness that he took and what he became for us. In Hebrews 2:8, God says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we not see yet all things put under him." See, we don't see that yet. We haven't seen Jesus Christ take the throne as God. We haven't seen that time. We get excited about that because he's not going to take that throne until he has his wife. That's what, again, is so wonderful in this faith that he's given us, this most holy faith time that we have, this most set apart time of faith going unto him without the camp. Believe the word of God. Oh, it's just tremendous what God has given to us to believe him for in this day and this age. But see, brothers and sisters, he says, "I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of the Father." Wrapping this little section up. "There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these saying." And why was there a division? There's always going to be a division when there's unbelief. Amen. There's not going to be any division when you believe the Lord. There's going to be that oneness. It's going to be beautiful. It's just going to be, praise God, in that bond of perfectness. And what do they finally resort to once again? Boy, you see the pattern. "And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" See, that's exactly what the devils want to do. That's exactly what the false prophets and false teachers want to do. They do not want you to hear the word of God. I'm going to ask anybody here that, again, not saying that you have to come to this place or anything about this church or this building or anything of that nature. But if you want God's best, you must hear Paul's gospel. You must hear the word of God. And I know you're thinking, well, yeah, I mean, I know there's certain religions, you know, they don't even preach Christ and his deity and things of that. And I'm going to ask you about a lot of my precious brothers and sisters that have these churches. How much of the word of God do you hear? The sermon, I've heard many places, you know, that sermon was 5 minutes. Loved it. We were in and out of there. And watch all the games on Saturdays and Sundays. No, they don't get out of there that soon. It's because they have all of the song fest, the jam festival, and all of these things. However Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. But then what are you hearing? Are you hearing the same thing over and over? In a sense of just, again, the foundational things. That foundation's been laid. We go on. Amen. And we need to understand that, and we do need to be very careful about what we hear and what we're listening to. There's many precious brethren. They're all precious brethren. But brothers and sisters, if you don't go on in the Word of God, you'll begin to go after error. And there are some wonderful preachers that can preach magnificently and give wonderful salvation messages and things of that nature. But when you stay in that, eventually what's going to happen is you're going to bring in things that aren't so in the Word of God. You'll preach Paul's gospel, you'll preach the whole counsel of God. And that's the truth. The truth sometimes can be hard to take, but better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. And I would that all men preach Paul's gospel, all mankind. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? What a wonderful place it would be. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. But that's why, cherish the word of God. Believe it. Get into it more and more. Don't ignore it. You don't have anything that's more important at this time. You don't. It doesn't matter where in life you are, whether you've just had a child and, oh, I've really got to work hard to save up for, you know, my kid's education, or I got to work hard for my retirement, or I'm in school and I've really got to be dedicated. Yeah, you got to be dedicated to whatever God's put you in all the time. That's the truth. But the way you'll be dedicated in the fullness of the glory of God is when He's first, when you do not neglect the full gospel of Christ. We have the opportunity, brothers and sisters. Let's go after it. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise His name.